Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Teachers soaking up their well-deserved summer breaks are already daydreaming about how they'll inspire their next class of students on a tough subject, climate change. We've reported that most schools in the country are not required to teach kids about climate literacy, but that's not the case in New Jersey. It is the first state to mandate that all of its public schools incorporate lessons about climate change into the curriculum, starting in kindergarten. New Jersey First Lady Tammy Murphy led the initiative, which started last fall. Here she is in 2020, speaking on The State of Affairs with Steve Adubato.
The future leaders and the policymakers of our world are our children. We are handing them a real problem. And if we don't educate them and teach them and give them the tools so that they understand this here and now, then we are really being not only disrespectful, but we are being negligent, I believe.
Well, joining us now are two New Jersey teachers. Mariah Bessis is a fourth grade special education teacher at Bartle Elementary School in Highland Park. Mariah, welcome.
Thank you.
And we also have Kyle Sievard. He is a science teacher at Grunin Performing Arts Academy. That's a vocational school in Ocean County, New Jersey. He teaches 9th and 11th graders. Kyle, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
And Mariah, I understand your background is in science. You were hired at your school to be a STEM teacher, but because you're also certified in special education, you got pulled in that direction because of a teacher shortage. How have you been talking about climate change with your 9 and 10-year-old students?
So we just, as the school year was ending, experienced a major shock with air quality. And my students, who wanted their recess, were kept questioning why it was so bad. So we actually pulled up a map and then spoke about that and then talked about how climate change is affecting things like wildfires and what we can do as fourth graders in Highland Park. That seems to be one of the best ways to talk about it with students, is talk about what they can do, but also let them know that it's not just us. So if you don't ride your bike everywhere, you're not killing the planet.
And you're referring to the wildfires in Canada. The smoke was blowing down all up and down the eastern seacoast there. How did they respond to those lessons, and what did they think about all that smoke?
They were a little freaked out. It did on the first day look very apocalyptic, especially because most fourth graders don't listen to the news. They don't hear what's going on unless their parents are telling them. So my kids were a little freaked out, but then we started talking about it. And some of my kids were very confused as to why someone would start a fire like that. So then we talked about how wildfires actually start. I think they learned a lot about how nature works through those conversations, but also a lot about how what happens in north of us really affects what's going on around us.
Yeah. Now, Kyle, you're teaching high schoolers. You've got the older kids. How do you approach a new class of teenagers in the fall to make sure that you're talking about climate change in a way that's on their level, that resonates with them?
You'd be surprised, Peter, how climate literate high schoolers are. And we really don't have to focus on a foundation. What I try and focus on is not just the problems, because it's very doom and gloom, climate science. I mean, most environmental issues tend to be doom and gloom. But I really feel you have to marry those two things, with a problem, with a solution.
And do you have an example of that in your classroom?
Sure. So, for example, when we talk about deforestation, we talk about deforestation in the Amazon, it is important to pair that with something like reforestation and talking about how countries are making initiatives to working towards preserving 30% of their natural land and even water, and making new national parks and marine parks out there, preserving spaces, because if you preserve this space, then odds are you're preserving the species found within the space. So this is what I mean by pairing problem, deforestation, with a possible solution, reforestation or conservation.
We should mention, Kyle, that you're actually joining us on vacation from Kenya. Would you mind telling us what you're doing there? And, you know, if you bring your experiences in Africa into the classroom in the fall? Like, is that part of the plan?
100%. I mean, Peter, I think one of the easiest ways to connect with students is to tie in animals. I think we all have that innate love of a particular favorite animal, and mine is elephants. So I try and talk about elephants as much as possible. And how I tie in elephants with climate change is when we look at elephant conservation, 15, 20 years ago, the main threat to elephants was poaching for their tusks, for their ivory. But that has changed. Now, a lot of the orphans that are luckily rescued by the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust are here because of human-wildlife conflict. Elephants, due to extreme droughts, are being pushed out of their parks or having to go outside of parks into human settlements to try and find enough food, to try and find water. And this is creating human-wildlife conflict. Again, that's the problem. But solution is the Kenya Wildlife Service is going and making watering holes. And you have places like the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust that are there helping capture these orphans, rehabilitating them, and then re-releasing them. So I'm seeing that process here firsthand of these elephants as babies and then eventually becoming rewild.
You know, I'm listening to both of you. Kyle, you're talking about the elephants in Africa. Mariah, you've been telling us about, you know, the wildfire smoke that's drifting down to New Jersey. You both have a science background, clearly, but what about for teachers in your district, your colleagues, who have to teach climate change now in their curriculum, but they don't have the same comfort level as you do? Is that a challenge?
I definitely think that's a challenge that I've seen, but there's a lot of really awesome groups out there that are doing a lot of work to help support that. There's an organization called Subject to Climate who collects lessons from around the country that involve climate change. And the New Jersey Climate Change Education Hub has a lot of awesome resources as well. So there are a lot of groups that are out there that are trying to make it easier for teachers who don't have that science background.
At the same time, I'm sure you've seen this in your schools. Teachers all across the country are trying to catch their kids up on pandemic-related learning loss. Do you think that lessons in climate change should be a priority when we know that kids are falling behind in key subjects like reading and math?
I think that being able to integrate the climate change into our lessons will help because it is something of interest to a lot of students. Especially in New Jersey, we see such a huge impact of all of these issues that are going on. I mean, my students didn't have a snow day this year. And when they complained about that, we talked about how the climate is changing because of things that humans are doing to it, and that could be part of the cause. So I think it's important because they see a difference in their climate, even in the past 10 years of their life. And it's something that we can easily integrate in reading and math.
Kyle, question for you here. Schools have really become political minefields for so many reasons over the last couple of years. You have, as a teacher, you have so much to navigate on what books you're reading, whether or not you can mention gender, or you have to watch your language very carefully. Have you experienced any pushback from parents or even like local politicians who don't like the fact that you might be bringing up a topic like climate change in the classroom?
I mean, what I would say the pushback we would get is probably more so when we talk solutions. I believe that everyone is on the same page, or at least most of us are on the same page when we say the climate is changing. Where the soup gets sticky is what would be an appropriate solution for it, because you have different stakeholders and different stakeholders will have different perspectives on a possible solution. And it's important to listen to all those stakeholders and not disregard a group, because climate is something that we're all in the same boat with, climate change.
Well, I'll tell you what, your students are lucky to have both of you as teachers. Kyle Sievert is a science teacher at Grunin Performing Arts Academy. It's a vocational school in Ocean County, New Jersey. And Mariah Bessis, a fourth grade special education teacher at Bartle Elementary School in Highland Park, New Jersey. Thanks to you both. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Mariah.